Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Discover Covington County Hospital's swing bed program, offering comprehensive care for patients transitioning from acute hospital care to home. With a focus on rehabilitation, we ensure a smooth journey back to your home environment. Choose Covington County Hospital, where your health care matters.
Sports. Sports.
Get ready, sports fans. It's time for Chasing Foul Balls on Super Talk Pike County 93.5 and streaming worldwide on the Super Talk Mississippi app and on your Amazon Alexa devices. Chasing Foul Balls, your weekly source for all the sports news and interviews important to Southwest Mississippi. Chasing Foul Balls is presented by Rainbow Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Macomb and by First Bank. And now, here's your host, Robbie Hamilton.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the inaugural edition of Chasing Foul Balls Friday morning right here on Super Talk Pike County 93.5. It's our inaugural edition, and we're glad to have you along with us, no doubt about that. I'll be myself and the whole Chasing Foul Balls crew. We'll be with you every Friday morning from 9:06 to 10. We'll talk sports and whatever else kind of pops in our mind and keep you up to date on what's going on everywhere in sports here in Southwest Mississippi. Let me introduce my Chasing Foul Balls crew that's with us today. Most of y'all know them, but in case you have some fun new folks with us, to my right, we call him the Professor. Won't have to listen long to understand how you got that name. Mr. Neil Randall, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Robbie. Great to be with you guys this morning.
Glad to have you back with us. To my left, we call him TP, and I'm not going to get into why we call him that, but if you would like to know why we call him TP, when you see him on the street, just ask him. He'll be more than happy to explain where TP comes from, no doubt about that. That's Richard Hay. How you doing, sir?
Always a pleasure, Robbie. Good to see y'all this morning.
Good to see you. Big time for the Hay family the last couple of weeks, hasn't it?
Yes, it's been pretty exciting in more ways than one with all the back and forth and the travel, but we're getting through it.
Number two son,
yeah.
Athletic director
at Columbus State University, and I think it's been something he's been looking forward to ever since he got into administration here at Southwest in the athletic department here, and we're excited. He's excited, but you know the transition and the move and all that stuff is going on right now, and that's not fun. But they're getting through it.
I bet. A couple things we need to do, house cleaning, to kind of get started today. First of all, invite everybody to join us on our Facebook page, Chasing Foul Balls. Just go there, follow it with us. We'll be doing some things with that this morning and talking about that. Also, if you know some folks outside of the listening area of Super Talk 93.5, just let them know they can go to supertalkpikecounty.com, and up in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a little bit of a place that says listen live. So if you'll just go there and hit on that, you can listen. You can listen to our Chasing Foul Balls program here on Super Talk 93.5. Guys, time to go to work, I reckon. First thing first, biggest sports story of the week, no doubt about it. Richard, you'll be most of this. New baseball coach at Mississippi State announced yesterday to the crowd at Duty Noble Field, Brian O'Connor. Do you see this as a statement by Zach Selman and the administration of Mississippi State that they're going all in on baseball?
Oh, exactly, Robbie. I think from the moment, well, I guess from the beginning of the season, and when it didn't start out like we wanted to, and things kept kind of rolling along. But when Zach Selman got to a point, I think his tenure here, a year and a half, he realized what baseball, you know, and we all said it when he was hired, said, you know, football and basketball are what they are, but he might be judged more about who he hires in baseball. Well, then the moment came, and you know, I agree. I think it was a big time hire, grand slam, home, whichever you want to call it. But it's somewhat surprising to me a little bit that the man that built what he had at Virginia would come to Mississippi State. But I think in the moment of what we live in today in college athletics, You know what talks and what walks, and I think we've stepped up to the plate from that standpoint.
Well, there's no doubt about it. What talks is $2.9 million mm-hmm. average salary for the four-year contract of Brian O'Connor. $2.9 million, Neil. A lot of money to coach baseball.
It is, and I'm not sure my arithmetic goes that high. I know my bank account certainly doesn't. Now, Mr. Hayes, another story.
Yeah, it's it. When you look at that, Richard, you're surprised at what the salary was? $1.5 million more than what they paid Lemonis.
Well, I think to draw a coach that's won a couple World Series, he's a Hall of Fame coach. At some point in time, you had to make it the offer so good he couldn't refuse it. He had to look at it in perspective of salary, facilities, NIL money. Everything there, and it just had to be an offer that was too good to refuse, because he was going to be the first one that we offered it to. So I thought we had to. Now, did I think it when it was all said and done, he'd be in the number two position as highest paid college baseball coaches in the country? I didn't think we might get there, but there again, I think that's the statement Zach Selman wanted to make when he made the hire.
Did you see the introduction, I reckon you would call it, a Duty Noble Field last night?
I saw bits and pieces of it. You know, I live way out in the country, and I still saw the circle a lot. So,
I understand. That's me, you know, Rural Sports Genius Esquire. I'm so far out in the country, I don't find out what's going on in sports till the next day. So
I hear you.
I can't handle that with you. A couple of points on it. I thought the intro by Jim Ellis was tremendous. If you hadn't seen it, you can go to YouTube, I'm sure, and pick it up there. But they had the, I reckon, introduction ceremonies yesterday at Duty Noble Field, which they call, Mr. Randall, the Carnegie Hall of Baseball.
I keep hearing that. I've not been up there. I depend on folks like Richard and Lee Wilson to tell me about it. But I think they're right on there from what I've heard.
My problem is I've never been to Carnegie Hall.
Oh, no.
So I don't know how to measure it, but as far as baseball goes, I would say, yeah, it's Carnegie Hall of Baseball.
I was really impressed on the introduction last night. It was the Summit native Pete Young being introduced as a member of the Ron Polk Hall of Fame, and he made his appearance and walked out on the red carpet. It was good to see Pete again.
Yeah, it's always good when and I think that was one of the things that was interesting to me, Robbie, is reading some of the comments off the Virginia website of their former players in support of Brian O'Connor. And I think we know that from here with the legendary coaches that we know and get to visit with. You know, when the players talk about it years after, about how much fun they had, how much enjoyment they had, and they still have contact with their coaches, I think that says a lot. Pete's one of those of the Polk family, and I'm sure there will be a lot more now that we have Brian O'Connor as our head coach.
This will slide right into that deal. We had a discussion in our first time around on Chasing Foul Balls that baseball had moved into the number two position in Mississippi as a sport behind football. It was football, baseball, and then basketball as far as the sports go in Mississippi. Looking at what happened this year, you would have to say it really enforces that idea, the fact that you had all three big schools go to the regionals. You had LSU in the regionals. Counting LSU, you had three schools hosting regionals. That's just hard to picture for me in a state like Mississippi to have that kind of baseball happenings.
Well, you're exactly right, and it's been strong for a long, long time. But to me, over the last several years, it's become more consistently strong year in and year out. And it's not just the big three in the SEC. The smaller schools in Mississippi are having great success. William Carey, of course, they've been at the top of their heap for a long time. Belhaven, Millsaps, Delta State.
And then you add to that the fact that Pearl River Community College mm-hmm. makes it to the finals of the NJCAA baseball tournament. And to get there, they had to beat another Mississippi team, East Central.
Yeah, exactly.
So that shows, as you step down from the college, the major college, as you continue to step down, baseball really continues to grow in Mississippi.
It really does, and let's not overlook basketball, because basketball in Mississippi has gotten better and better over the years, and it's interesting to watch with the quote NIL factor now.
I can't keep up with all that, Neil. I'll be honest with you.
I don't know what to say about it, but it's here.
I tell you, it gets me. You start to figure that kind of money they're talking about. They're talking about the pitcher for Texas Tech getting $1 million to go play softball.
A little over $1 million, I understand. Yeah.
That takes us there real quick. We got a couple more things we want to get to before we get to our first guest tonight, Ted Melton. You talk about baseball growing. To me, one of the fastest growing sports in Mississippi right now is women's softball.
Oh, exactly. It's come a long way from the slow pitch at East Macomb activities, I promise
quite a way.
Quite a way.
Quite a way from chasing them foul balls over there and getting that nickel for them.
That's where the name. Yeah, that's where the name of this show came from.
Well, look, many times ago, you know, fast pitch softball was a men's game.
Yeah,
and it was played in this area at a very high level.
And it's no more.
And no more because all them players.
Well, if you look at the fact that Ole Miss goes to the World Series in softball for the first time ever, Mississippi State was in the regional, LSU was in the regional, Southeastern Louisiana was in the regional. You just got so many teams in this area now that has helped grow fast pitch softball. It's just amazing. One more thing before we get to Ted, one of our favorite subjects to talk about and put the bag over our head about and everything else, and that's the New Orleans Saints. One thing about the Saints' first half program today, were y'all surprised that there were no main games given to the Saints? No Monday night football, no Sunday night football, no Thursday night football. The Saints are playing on Sunday afternoon, and that's all.
Robbie, I was not, because all the quote-unquote experts, prognosticators are saying the Saints are in for a very long year. And as our buddy Reese Nunry says, we know what walks and what talks. So, no, I was not.
What about you, Richard?
Robbie, maybe just because the Saints are the Saints, maybe they might have gotten one somewhere. But we all know it's about production and what you do on the field. And based on the last couple of years, why would you want to see somebody in an 8 o'clock Monday night game or a 7 o'clock Sunday night game other than, you know, it's the Saints. So, now, I wasn't surprised they didn't get one, but – the end of the year, the NFL has flex schedule, so if the Saints perform well, which I don't think they will, they could slide into one, but as of now, I wasn't surprised.
You're almost as optimistic as I am.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's a bit to see, too, the quarterback. Last question, who will be the quarterback, Rattler, Chuck, or other?
I think it's a toss-up at this time, and from what I've been hearing, Chuck has the edge at this point, and that's kind of scary to me.
Well, when you have to start in the NFL in your first game with an NFL rookie quarterback who was playing at the University of Louisville last year, I don't hold out much hope. I imagine, experience-wise, I think Rattler wins it, but maybe since he's a first-rounder or second pick, whatever the Saint where he was, I think he probably gets the nod, but it'll be a performance in practice. But, I don't know, Robbie. I'd probably say Rattler right now.
As always, we got a question of the day on Chasing Foul Balls. Our question for the day, first one here on our new show. Which do y'all consider the toughest position to play? Catcher in baseball or hockey goalie? What is the toughest position to play?
I'll take that one.
I'll let you both have a shot at it.
Thank you. I've been behind the plate umpiring for many years, and I've taken some pretty good shots. But I saw what was coming. I couldn't always do a lot about it. But in hockey, I know they've got all that equipment on and they look like the Michelin man. I'm talking about the goalies. But they can get blindsided too. So I'm going to say that the hockey goalie would be the most dangerous position, in my humble opinion.
Having never played neither position, I saw a couple minor league hockey games up close. The speed of that game, it's constant movement. And as you said, Neil, there's people in front of the goalie all the time. And look, I watch it on television, and they'll do a slap shot from 30, 40 feet away, and you never see the puck till it hits the back of the net. I would say goalie in hockey, Robbie.
To me, what makes the difference, the fact that the goalie in hockey is playing on ice, on skates, to me, that makes such a big difference.
It'd be a big difference for me.
Go to Chasing Foul Balls Facebook page. Tell us what you think. What's the toughest position, baseball catcher or a hockey goalie? And we'll come back and we'll visit with our first guest of the day, Ted Milton, right after we take this time out. You're listening to CFB Friday Morning. It's right here on Super Talk Pike County. CFB Friday Morning, first edition right here. We're talking Pike County, 93.5. Glad to have you along with us. I know you're missing the man with all the hair, Dave Hughes, and the discussion of the McCombs City Board, but we don't know much about that, so we can't get into too deep of a situation. But one of these days, we're going to bring it up just as a homage to Mr. Hughes.
It is a sport to some extent.
Oh, it's a I'm hoping it's an active sport, I reckon you would say. On the phone with us, glad to have you with us, the former head baseball and football coach at McComb High School and the most recent Ron Polk Hall of Fame inductee, Ted Milton. How are you, Ted?
I'm doing great, Robbie. Doing great. I'm getting an echo when I'm talking to y'all.
Yeah, you just have to
kind
of
cut me. Okay,
we got you. You're fine. Yes, sir. You always
okay.
Fine, Ted.
All right, I'm at Lake Martin for a family reunion, fixing to get on a boat and ride around with the grandkids and enjoy life.
I was kind of disappointed I didn't see you last night at the Hall of Fame with a new baseball coach.
Right, I wanted to go, but we can't. My reunion started yesterday. You know, the Milton family is pretty good size, so it takes a while for us to get things going. And we kind of slow in getting things going.
To say the Milton family is a good size is probably an understatement there, that's for sure. Let me ask
yeah,
you a question of the day. What's the hardest position to play, a hard position to play? Baseball catcher or hockey goalie? What would you say?
Hockey goalie. Because I heard y'all talk a while ago. I've gone to some minor league games down here. They are so quick on those skates, and that putt, it's moving. And the other thing they do a lot of is fighting. So I think I'd be a catcher.
You'd be a catcher. Some people would say, Ted, that nose looks like a hockey goalie, though.
Yeah, that's about right. It's had a little damage done to it.
What's the hardest sport to coach? Baseball as a head coach or football as a head coach?
Well, I tell people all the time that football is not a whole lot of physical work. It's more mental, you know, and watching a lot of films. Baseball, to me, is hard because all the physical work, the ground balls, the fly balls, throwing batting practice, you know, and I wasn't fortunate enough in high school where I had people could throw batting practice, BP. I had to throw it all. And, and you're taking care of the field. So I'm going to say baseball, to me, was harder.
When you were being recruited by Mississippi State to play baseball there, what was the recruiting like when you were – I asked you to go play baseball at Mississippi State.
Well, it's like I said in the speech, it was heck. I had one offer.
So, tough decision, wasn't it?
It wasn't hard to choose.
When you went to Mississippi State, they got Duty Noble up there now. what was the conditions of the playing situation at Mississippi State when Ted Milton got there?
The field was fantastic. It hadn't changed. I don't know if it was probably better back then because Tom DeArmi was just crazy about making sure that field was immaculate. And the stands weren't like it were. We had wooden stands all around it, and, you know, the backstop had it. And the other thing, like I told people, our most faithful fans were the Holstein Cows out in left field. We named them. I mean, look, Robbie, they would show up every game and every practice.
They were loyal fans, huh?
I didn't care. They didn't care if we won or lost, you know?
Ted, Neil Randall, congratulations on your induction into the Ring of Honor. Certainly a well-deserved honor and a long time coming. Most people don't realize, everybody thinks of Ron Polk at Mississippi State, but you played for a legend in Paul Gregory. Tell us about Paul Gregory and Tom DeArmi, who you just mentioned.
Well, Coach Gregory was more laid back, Neil. He was more like a professional baseball coach with him playing professional ball. He never changed his demeanor, and he worked with pitchers only. Now, we had Tom DeArmi, and we called him CT, Crazy Tom. We took more ground balls, more fly balls. Like I told people, we were out there in 19-degree weather catching 100 fly balls. And so DeArmi was, let's just put it straight to you, he was crazy. But he was a great baseball coach. And I'll never forget that I called home after about 2 weeks and asked my dad, I said, Dad, what did you and Mom name me on the birth certificate? And he said, boy, you know what we named him? I said, well, I ain't getting called those names up here. So I was wondering if y'all might let me know if that's my middle name or something.
Coach.
It was great. I can't say anything bad about them. They were, without the leadership by both of them, we wouldn't have been as successful as we were.
Coach Milton, this is Richard Hay. It's good to talk to you again. And once again, congratulations on your induction into the Polk Ring of Honor. And you mentioned your recruitment was real easy. You only had one offer. When you were the head baseball coach here at Macomb and you had scouts come in and start talking, how did you give them advice about where they should go if they were a potential draft choice or college? What was your role in helping them direct them to where they wanted to go?
I told them the truth about the player. I had a player. I won't mention his name. They came in and talked to me about him. He wasn't real big, but he could run like everything. And he had good pop in his bat. And one of the scouts said, Coach, he don't throw real well. I said, well, let me ask you one question. Would you rather him catch it before it gets to the fence or play it off the fence?
Good question.
You know, and so I just told Rich, I just told him the truth, you know. And the other thing I always told him, what type of worker was he? Hard worker and that, you know. And so sometimes you had scouts come in and you could really tell they knew what we were doing. Then you had some scouts come in, I wouldn't have gave you a plug nickel for.
Let's move on to a couple of weeks ago, well, a couple of months ago now, Rick, it was for the Ring of Honor for Ron Polk. How did you find out that you were going to be inducted into the Ring of Honor?
Robbie, I got suckered into a heck of a call. I got a text from Travis Ray, up at Mississippi State. He works with the sports department and said Coach Lamanis wanted to talk to me about Mississippi State baseball in the late 60s and early 70s. He was doing something on it. I said, okay. So, Robbie, they set up, y'all know more about it, this week, virtual, where you can go on the computer and look at each other, you know. I had I had to get my wife to set that up, so I didn't know how to do it.
I was thinking to say, you didn't do that, I know.
No, I didn't. Computers, I'm illiterate when it comes to it, but we got on the screen, Lamontis and I did, talking. Then he said, I need to put three more people on here with me. I said, fine, put it on there. Well, he put Ron Pope, Zach Selman, and Saunders Riley, who's head of the committee that chooses. I said, whoa, what's going on here? And Saunders said, Ted, we want to congratulate you that you've just been inducted to the selected for the Ring of Honor. What now, Robbie, I'm 74 years old. I said, y'all stop. I need to run to the bathroom before I do it in my pants. That's how you surprised me so much. So that's how they set it up. And the other great thing is my roommate, Mike Prophet, went in too, and they wanted me to talk to his wife, and I was glad to do that. I just, the bad part was, you know, he's passed away 8 to 10 years ago. And I would love to have him standing beside me up there. But it was, I'm very humbled and honored about it, because when I found out about this thing going on, I told my wife about 50 years down the road, I might get in. My great-grandchildren may be able to see it.
Ted, this is Neil again. What's your opinion of the changes that have taken place in college baseball and the direction it's going at this time?
I don't like it, Neil. I don't. You know, you're up there on a scholarship, and I know there's not a whole lot of scholarships in baseball, but it's not an amateur sport anymore. And the other thing, it's just not in baseball, this portal where you can go where you want to go after 1 year. You know, and heck, there's some up there playing in their granddaddies. You know, they're about 25, 26 years old. So that's not what it's about. I don't like it. And I don't know how much longer this can last.
One thing else, before we let you go, Ted, the question of, as you were talking there, has college sports gone away from their dignity and their class, and is it being replaced strictly by money?
Yes. Ron Pope talked to us when he was up there, and he made a great statement. He said, if you want to see the problem with baseball, go to the parking lot. This is Mississippi State's parking lot. He said, you're going to see three Corvettes, three brand new Corvettes. So what does that tell you, Robbie?
You didn't have that at Mississippi State? They didn't get you a Corvette?
No, Robbie, I had an old Mustang that to stop it, we opened the door and drug our feet, you know, just to get around.
Well, Ted, thanks for being with us today on our first show of CFB here in Super Talk. And we appreciate you taking the time. Have a great reunion up there with the Miltons. And can try to make sure you don't have to call the police or nothing, okay?
All right, man. Thank you. And I hope everything's going great with y'all.
We're doing good. Thanks, Ted. Appreciate you joining us.
Okay, man.
Ted Milton, former head baseball coach, football coach at Macomb High School, the latest member of the Ron Polk Ring of Fame at Mississippi State. Only one of them.
The stories that he can tell, has told, and he's very, as we like to say, Neil, old school baseball. And I always enjoyed my time around Coach Milton.
Well, you know, I guess I had forgotten that he played on the first Mississippi State team to go to the World Series back in 71.
Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, still holds or either is just been removed from a couple of the offensive categories at Mississippi State, which says a lot.
Yeah, baseball has changed, and they play a lot more games than they used to, for sure.
Well, coming up next, the head football coach here at Southwest Mississippi Community College, Coach Les George, will be with us. We're chasing foul balls. It's right here on Super Talk Pike County 93.5. Glad to have you along.
sports.
And now sports.
You're listening to Chasing Foul Balls on Super Talk Pike County 93.5 and streaming everywhere on the Super Talk Mississippi app. Chasing Foul Balls is presented by Rainbow Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Macomb and by First Bank and brought to you by East Macomb Body Shop and Guy's Pharmacy. Now back to Chasing Foul Balls on Super Talk Pike County 93.5.
Well, welcome back. CFB Friday morning edition, the first one. Right here on Super Talk 93.5. Super Talk Pike County, it is. I have to get all that straightened out and all that. Still kind of a little bit slow on getting up on what day or where we are and what we're doing, that's for sure. But joining us, a man who's not slow at getting up to date on anything that I know about, is the head football coach of the Southwest Mississippi Community College Bears, Coach Alyss George. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Oh, man, first time, so we're just giving it a whirl, that's for sure.
I hear you.
Question, let me start here. I was looking at the bio, the undergraduate work. You graduated from, I couldn't figure out how to pronounce it.
Yep, it's Bacone College.
Bacone College.
Yep.
Now, where in the world is Bacone College?
It is out in Muskogee, Oklahoma.
Now, how did a guy from East Central High School on the coast end up in Muskogee, Oklahoma?
You know, it's one of those stories where I didn't go right into college right out of high school. I worked a little bit and then decided that, you know, the college route may be the best thing for me to do. So ended up playing junior college football. Had a great time doing it. Whenever I finished, you know, my head coach was Steve Campbell. I had already.
Yes, sir.
Yep. I had my mind made up that I was going to get into coaching. And I had talked to him about, you know, just getting into student coaching, taking some classes and kind of starting in that direction. Then I got a phone call from the head coach out at Bacone College, and I kind of let him know what my plans were. Then he told me he was from Van Cleve, Mississippi, which was, you know, right across the highway over there. And I got off the phone with him, got thinking about it, and I said, man, what are the odds, you know? And I don't know, just kind of went with it and talked to him again and told him I'd be interested to come out there and give it a shot. Didn't even visit the campus or anything.
You had an interesting route to get to Gulf Coast Community College to play football.
Yep. It was
the first time it didn't work.
No, it didn't. I went and worked, like I said, and decided I was going to give it a shot, you know. I had a job, being transparent about it. I was working at a Papa John's Pizza because I had finished up working at the shipyard, okay? And after doing the shipyard work for a while, I didn't really enjoy that. And I said, well, I'll try this pizza deal for a little bit. And actually, one night before closing, had a gentleman come by. And after he got his pizza and we discussed football for a while and so forth, he asked me if I had played football. And I told him my story. And he told me who he was. He said, I'm Chuck Comiskey. I played for the Saints, played at Ole Miss from Pascagoula, and gave me his card. He said, I want you to do me a favor. And he said, I want you to take this card, go over to Gulf Coast, tell them I sent you, you know what I'm saying, and that you're here to give it a shot. And so that's what I did. And showed up, got to the campus, was working out, then, I don't know, maybe a month or so, Steve Campbell was hired, and that's how his path and mine had crossed.
You have three daughters. How's that for a football coach?
It's a lot of fun. It is. I'll say that. It's expensive. It's a lot of fun. It's never a dull moment for a second. So,
when you look at, when we talk about Southwest, one of the first things, of course, everybody wants to talk about is quarterbacks.
Yep.
What do you see as far as the quarterback position for the Bears coming up on this next year?
You know, it's we're going to have some great competition there. You know, returning, we got Henry Brewer from Park Lane Academy. He had a really good spring. We also had a transfer from Holmes, Charlie Fair, who's from Grenada. And then we just signed Silas Quarter from Pascagoula, who's transferred from Southern Miss. So, I feel like we got a really good quarterback room right now. We're looking forward to those guys, you know, getting out there and competing a little bit.
Coach George, we're really excited to have you here, and I know you got your staff in place, and obviously got some great people on that staff. We talk about recruiting all the time, and apparently from what I've been told over the years in junior college, recruiting goes up to the last hour before the first game. I'd just love to hear your comments on JUCO recruiting.
Yep. Yep, it does. We're still recruiting right now. You know, you get into the realm of once you get through signing day, to where you sign all the, you know, your high school seniors, you're evaluating your roster and seeing what your big needs are, where you're deficient at. And then you hit, you know, the transfer portal happens, and we're still at this moment still talking with transfers, you know, to get those guys in to fill a lot of those big needs that we have. So it's a never-ending process, really.
The one thing that I always was amazed with Coach Campbell when I talked to him was he always recruited kids who had committed to four-year schools. He still recruited them all the way through. And I asked him one day, Coach, why you spend that time to try to recruit kids who have already committed? And he said, well, Rami, you know, one of these days, probably three out of every five will come back home.
That's true.
And if they come back home, I want them to feel welcome to come back home to Southwest Mississippi Community College. Do you have that same philosophy?
Absolutely. And it's not one to where you're trying to convince them, you know, to not go to the four-year school, but you want to establish that relationship with them so that they do know that they do have a place to come to.
Staying with recruiting for a second, would you share with us how many out-of-staters you can have and how difficult is it to recruit good specialty players like punters and place kickers?
It's we get 15 out-of-staters.
15?
Yep. They've moved that number up. You know, it's kind of bounced here or there over the years. Right now, it's at 15. And, you know, specialty position is one that's very tough and very critical. You know, it's like this year we've actually signed an out-of-state kicker/punter, you know, because you what you typically do is you stay in-state at that position. What you find over the years is that you've got a certain number in that pool of recruits within the state that you can recruit from. Sometimes you may sign a player that's probably not the best quality player, you know, but you don't want to use an out-of-state spot for that. Kind of going into it this year, that's what we evaluated was within in-state what was available. If we didn't feel like, you know, it was a good quality player, then we were willing to go out-of-state if he could kick and punt, because we didn't want to use two out-of-state spots for that. So we actually found old Sergio over there in Georgia. He's going to come in, he's going to kick, and he's going to punt. So we're very excited about him.
Well, that's very important. One more question here, Coach George. I see where you had your annual golf tournament out at Quail Hollow a few weeks ago. I know that's a big fundraiser for you. What can your supporters in the area and wherever do to help out the Bear football program financially?
Yeah, it's what was you asking me there again?
Raising money for the football program. How can people go about that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So we actually have a Bear Backer account within the foundation. That's huge for us. You know, anytime anybody wants to give, it's available online. It's very much appreciated. You know, even within the golf tournament, we were just overwhelmed with the amount of support that we had. I think we had around 21, 22 teams, which was phenomenal, which went way over the goal of what we were expecting. And that's one thing getting here that I noticed from day one was the amount of support in the area. I think everybody is excited, you know, they're ready to see the program get in the right direction. And you can definitely tell that, you know, everybody wants to get behind the program and they want to support. So yeah, absolutely. That's you get with Leanne Andrews within Foundation. We have a Bear Backer account, that if anybody wants to help out the program financially, that's where they can, they can do that.
Coach, I looked at your schedule, the usual 9-game schedule. All no easy games.
Yeah.
But I see you're going back to Holmes to open the season. That's got to be kind of mixed emotions.
It is. I mean, you know, my time at Holmes was great. You know, Marcus Wood's a friend of mine, and when I decided to, you know, I was going to come to Southwest, he and I had a good little laugh about that. Then we, you know, found out that actually the first game is going to be going back up there and us playing each other. So it's definitely going to be unique, you know, and not going to be easy by no means. But that was – what are the odds, huh?
Really.
Number of players you have on campus right now.
The number I got on campus? I say we're probably in the realm of, I mean, I don't have anybody here right now at the very moment. But once we finished up with spring, I want to say it was around the 22 to 23 realm, somewhere in that area. You know, then you combine that with our signing class. I don't know the exact number we signed on Saturday. That sounds terrible, but it was in the upper 20s. And then we've still got – we got some other guys that are coming in as well, but then we're also signing some transfers right now. So,
final question, our question of the day here on Chasing Foul Balls. Which is the harder position to play, baseball catcher or hockey goalie?
I don't know if I'm the best guy to ask that question. When I played baseball, man, they threw me on first base. So if I had to guess, whew. I don't know, man. Hockey's pretty tough, man. You on ice.
Oh, skates. That's
yeah,
a tough one.
Yeah, that's the one for me that I don't know. I think that's that takes a very, very, I guess the word is unique against skill set, you know, to do that. So I'd have to go with hockey.
Let me throw this final one before we let you go. What do cheap people bring to the barbecue?
We'll say hot dogs.
Mr. Randall, what do cheap people bring to the barbecue?
The ones I've dealt with, nothing but an appetite.
I would guess, yeah, some of the cheap people are, you know, that's the chip guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know some cheap people, too.
Yeah, we know several of them. Coach, appreciate you stopping
yes,
by here.
Thank
and on
y'all
our
for
first show,
me.
We'll have you back before we kick off the season. And, awesome. That's for sure. We'll talk a little more in depth about the Bear River football team. Thanks for coming by.
Awesome. Thank you. Go Bears.
Go Bears. Chasing Foul Balls right here on Super Talk. Pike County, 93.5. Big Daddy, we go overtime with Reese Nunnery next. Well, if you're looking for a bank that feels like home, First Bank is here for you. 14 locations across southern Mississippi. We're your local bank for checking, savings, loans, and more. Whether you're buying a home, starting a business, or just need everyday banking made easy, First Bank is ready to help. Stop by your nearest branch or visit firstbankms.com today. That's First Bank, where customers and community matters most. Member FDIC, an equal housing lender. And good morning, Big Daddy Reese.
Hello, Robbie. How y'all?
How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. I'm just getting old.
Yeah, well, join the crowd. We got number one, two, three. Well, I won't count Randy in that. So we got four of us that way, no doubt about that. Let's go to work.
No question.
A little bit late getting to you, so let's get some stuff I want you to get your opinion on. First of all, you're USM Baseball. I know you have to be proud, but at the same time, a little disappointed.
Yeah, a little disappointed, Robbie, but I'll take 47 wins and a regional host any year. You know, we were probably a couple runs short of probably hosting another super regional. That would have been pretty nice. But, you know, back in March, we were like just a few games above 500 and really didn't know whether we'd see that or not. And then we went on that 19-game win streak, and that kind of propelled us into good situation there for baseball.
Do you Are you concerned at all about player retention at Southern Miss with the portal and all the way it happens now?
Well, you always have to be concerned about it. One thing that has started with Coach Berry and has come forward with Coach Oz is a real culture of recruiting kids that really want to be there and really want to stay. And that, you know, we know what walks and what talks, but we've been very fortunate not to lose. But I think two players that we really thought we would contribute long term to us to transfer somewhere else. Now there've been a lot of transfers. Some of them have been encouraged to transfer because of the roster spots. But so far we haven't been really crushed by the NIL thing.
Let's go to this. The softball. As far as the World Series. Umpire's interference called in the first game of the World Series finals. Now, I've been around a lot of things, seen several. I better not get into what those things are. I get in trouble. New station, I don't want to get in trouble to start with. We've been around a lot of those. You've coached a lot of softball, Neil. You've baseball umpired. Have you ever heard of umpire's interference?
I saw that, Robbie, and I've never seen it, never even read about it in rule books or anything like that.
Nor have I, guys. That was a new one to me, but I'm still not sure what they called or why they called it.
Baseball, going back to that with Southern Miss, the number of scholarships go up this year, but the number of roster players go down. Does that help or hurt?
Well, I'd hate to be a coach because you have to cut a bunch of players, and some of them pretty good players. I know we're probably six or so players above the limit with what we got coming in, and they're still probably looking to pick up one player or two off the portal.
So you have to start cutting players. Who does that help? Does that help the schools below Southern Miss? Does it help the Community College League? Where are these players going to go?
Well, I think it will push some down, as you say. Some pretty good players to smaller colleges and to the junior colleges. And I would imagine a lot of people will take the step to the junior college to get a chance to perfect your game a little bit and maybe try to come back to major college baseball.
Reese, let's switch gears here just a second. How excited are the Southern Miss faithful over the new football coach, Coach Huff?
Well, Neil, I've been around this since 1970. I don't know that I've ever been more excited about a guy than I am with Huff. I didn't really know him, had to pay a whole lot of attention to him. But every time the guy talks, he's an old school coach coaching in a new era and knows how to handle that. He's very matter of fact. He's got that Nick Saban background, and I think he's a home run for us without question.
Hey, Big Daddy, this is Richard. we were talking earlier about fast pitch softball from the ladies' side. You know, what it is, what it's becoming and what it's become to the point where it's pretty exciting. Take us back to your days when you were playing and coaching back in fast pitch softball from the men's side and how it transferred to the women.
Well, you know, when we got in, we were kids in Liberty, and Gerald Miller had pitched a little bit when he was going to Southeastern for money, as he used to say, to make beer money, and he kind of instilled it in us in Liberty, and we kind of just grew up with it. I never really heard about it. Girls were playing slow pitch then, and we went to, I know the first time we went to Baton Rouge, and I heard talking to a guy, and his daughter was playing fast pitch. I think down around Lafayette, and all of a sudden started to hear more and more about girls fast pitch, and boy, look what it's grown into. And, you know, southwest Louisiana has been a hotbed for it early on. So I guess it just transferred from the guys coaching girls.
Well, Reese, I hate to cut it off here, but we have got to get out of here. This is our first show, and we're sure learning how to manage our time, no doubt about that. We appreciate you joining us. We'll talk to you next Friday morning about 9:45, 9:15, get your ideas on what's going on in sports.
All right. Thanks, Robbie.
Reese Nunnery, Big Daddy, thanks for joining us. Program one, guys, out of the way.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.